and directs each one and gives them the knowledge and the ability to carry out their covenant with him. In Ephesians 5 and verse 27 we read, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now that's a big order. Without spot or wrinkle. Now, how do we get spots on our clothing? Well, it's usually some carelessness. You know, you're not watching as you should, and you get a spot here and there. And it could be likewise with us, according to the apostle, that he would present to himself a glorious church, not having any spots on their robe. They're careful, and when they do get a spot, what do? They say, well, it doesn't look bad. Or do they go to the throne of grace and ask the Lord to forgive them for their spots and endeavor to do better so that they don't get the spots? But if the spots come, to recognize them as such and ask that the Lord by his grace would remove it. Now it also mentions without spot or wrinkle. How do we get wrinkles on our clothes? Well, I think everybody recognizes you're sitting on them. When you sit on your clothes, you get wrinkles on them. Because if you hang them up on a hanger, you'll never get spots, wrinkles in the clothing. There won't be a wrinkle of any kind. But if you do a lot of sitting, and you take your clothes and you look at it, there's, whoops, there's a lot of wrinkles in it. Now, could that mean that the Lord wants us to be active? That we wouldn't do a lot of resting and taking it easy and say, well, you know, I don't feel well, I don't have the ability, I don't know what to do. You know, we could make all kinds of excuses for not doing anything to preach the word or to help the brethren, waiting for the Lord to drop something in on us rather than looking for opportunities. I think we had a manna comment recently about seeking to do what we could to serve the Lord, to do his will to the best of our abilities, and not to merely wait and let the days go by without proper consideration of our responsibility. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, we read, "For bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." And so, I suppose in Paul's day, there must have been, even among the brethren, some who thought that they would keep fit physically by a lot of bodily exercise. That would keep them in good condition physically. But the Apostle Paul here says it profited little. There's some profit, but not much. So it's a good thing, but only to a degree. But godliness is profitable unto all things. So we want to evaluate properly the things we do from the Lord's standpoint, not from our standpoint. You know, someone may say, well, I want to be as healthy as I possibly can, and I will exercise. I'll spend a lot of time in exercising. And the Paul says that it profited little. But of course, I don't want to say that we should not exercise, but I think it can be overdone. We can carry that to an extreme, and then it would be to our detriment spiritually. Let us, you know, there's so many illustrations along this line that we don't expect to cover all that we have in mind. But we want to turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. Verses 2 and 3. And this is Samuel speaking to Saul. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. So according to this, he was to slay every human and every animal. Those were his instructions by Samuel from the Lord. But then when we drop down to the 20th verse, we read, And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. So here we see where instead of destroying all, they were going to make a sacrifice to the Lord by sparing the many of the animals. And then in the 22nd verse, Samuel sums up Saul's actions, and he said, And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the word of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So here again we're told that to obey fully, not partially, not invent some reason as to why we won't sacrifice completely, but we want to make an offering to the Lord. And of course, as a result of that, Saul was told that he would lose the kingdom and that his son would not be on the throne after him, simply because he didn't follow the Lord's instructions as they were given to him. And so the lesson comes down to us. The Lord has given us the instruction. How are we laying down our sacrifice? Is it fully or is it partially? Is it with a determination to be as faithful as we possibly can, or are we holding something back from the Lord? In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 3 and 4, we read, Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now he's speaking about the sisters. And, you know, there's a natural tendency I'm sure we know about this in the world, that women compete with one another in appearance. And they point out to each other how beautiful dresses or the beautiful hairdo they have or their general appearance. And when someone doesn't appear as well, they sort of cast a disparaging, sometimes even disparaging words, that this one is just not up to the standard that they're setting. And so here the Apostle Paul is saying that it shouldn't be the outward appearance, the plaiting of the hair or wearing the jewelry or putting on fancy apparel and different apparel for every occasion. But the important thing is let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I want to go on to Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31. I will praise the Lord, praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock. The offerings that we might make to the Lord, temporal offerings, are not the important things, but our praising and magnifying the Lord is what is most pleasing to him. We also have another test of love for our brethren. 1 Corinthians 8th chapter, verses 8 and 9. But meat commanded us not to God, for neither if we eat or are we better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. And so here we have an admonition that comes close to us in our relationship with one another, that we have the liberty of doing many things that aren't wrong, but we have to consider it from the standpoint of how will it affect my brethren. Will it help them? Will it encourage them in a narrow way? Or will I be doing and saying something that they might find difficult, that it might hinder them if they copy us? So it's necessary for us to be careful. Not only say, well, I have the right to do it, but how will it affect others if I do this? It's a consideration or a love for our brethren. And if we do this, then we are considering our brethren, and the Lord will bless us for it, because we should be concerned with one another and endeavor to build up and not to do or say anything that would hinder our brother or sister from continuing in the narrow way. We want to turn now to Acts, in the 9th chapter. And beginning with the 4th verse read, and this was Saul on the way to Damascus. And beginning with the 3rd verse, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Excuse me. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. We've often thought of this and thought as to what would be our reaction. If we are engaged in something and the Lord's word came to us and said, that's wrong, you shouldn't be doing this, what would your reaction or mine be? Would you say, all right, if it's wrong, I'll stop it? I think that's what I would say. I'll stop it then if it's wrong. I won't do it anymore. But Saul didn't say, I'll stop it. Well, if this is wrong, then what is the right thing? What should I do? And I think that was admirable. I think this is unusual, that a person in this situation that he was in would say, all right, show me the right way. Tell me what is right. And he didn't hesitate. He wanted to do the right thing without having to say, well, if this is wrong, let me think about it, you know. Sure. You know, this is so sudden, I don't know. You know, it took me by surprise. But he was willing to change immediately. I want to do the right thing. If this is wrong, I want to do the right. And we want to be among those that when the Lord indicates that something that we are doing is wrong, that isn't pleasing to him, that we wouldn't say, well, let me think about it for a while and I want to figure this thing out. I don't know about this thing, you know, it's so sudden, I'm upset and so on. But rather, we want to be among those that say, well, Lord, if what I'm doing is wrong, I want to do the right thing. I want to do it right away, as quickly as I can, without any delay, without any thinking about it. Since I have your instruction, I want to do it immediately. You know, there are so many other illustrations in the scriptures of doing good, but doing better. I'd like to close here and ask that the Lord would bless the lesson and overrule anything that may have been said amiss.
Much to think about as we examine ourselves and seek to deny the flesh what it wants and to strive towards the goal, which is Christ. Brother Albert has chosen hymn number 312A to close. 312.
Gracious Father in heaven, we come to Thee. Thankful, Father, that Thou hast called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. And may we show an increased evidence of our appreciation that Thou hast so blessed us with an understanding of Thy glorious character and of the divine plan of the ages. We do thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast shown us the high calling in Christ Jesus, and help us that we might more faithfully lay down our little all, that we might be more pleasing and acceptable to Thee, that we might eventually be those among those that will hear the well done. And we do pray for Thy grace and strength, and for a greater measure of Thy Holy Spirit, and greater faith that we might lay more firm hold upon all of Thy promises to us that are all thus and amen in Christ Jesus. We pray for Thy people everywhere. Bless each and every one according to their need. And we commit our all to Thy further care in Jesus' name. Amen.